We're going to be in Ruth this morning, the book of Ruth, four chapters. Turn there to the second chapter, if you would, while you're finding your way. Let me remind you of a little bit of background. Many who are, if you've been a Christian for very long, you know the story of Ruth. But we have some main characters. We have Elimelech, we have his wife Naomi, and because of famine, they travel from Israel down to a neighboring area, Moab, not known for its godliness, not believers in Jehovah God. In fact, at many times in the history of Israel, they were the opponents. They were the enemy. But in this time of famine, Naomi and her husband travel down to Moab. And there, as their sons are raised, they marry two Moabite women. But first the husband passes away. And then the sons pass away, and Naomi is left as a widow with two daughters-in-law, one of whom is Ruth. And so there's the title person of the book. And Naomi makes a decision to go back to Israel and to go back to the area of Bethlehem, Judah, from which she came with her husband. And so she announces to her daughters-in-law that she's leaving, and she encourages them to go back to their families, to go back to their mothers, and there to find help and comfort. They are widows now as well. But Ruth says no. Ruth says no. Where you go, I'm going to go. Your God is going to be my God. We're not going to be separated. I'm committed to you. And of course, in a sense then, I don't think this was without wisdom or without knowledge, in a sense, then, I'm committed to Jehovah God. I am a believer in his promises. I am a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going with you. So now by chapter 2, they've arrived back in Bethlehem, Judah, and as widows, they are in a bad state. They have no property. They have no means of income. And one of the things in the laws of Israel was that at harvest time, they came back in the time of the barley harvest. And at harvest time, if you were poverty-stricken, if you were homeless, some of the modern words we might use, but if you were destitute, you could go to the fields and you could glean from the corners of the fields because the harvesters would, they would harvest the grain, but they would leave a little bit still standing in the corners, and you could go and hand harvest some of that grain. And then, of course, after doing that, you remove the chaff and you create the flour, and you could eat. And so Naomi's has sent Ruth to a particular field, and we enter the scripture in verse 11. It's a field that's owned by Boaz. Now, you can rush forward because my message is not about Boaz. It's about something that he does. So you can fast forward and realize Boaz and Ruth are going to come together as husband and wife. And in fact, Ruth and Boaz will be in the ancestry of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And so we have that whole situation unfolding in the remaining chapters. But in chapter 2, verse 11, the scripture says, "And Boaz answered and said unto her," to Ruth, "It hath been fully been shewed me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity or birth, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she, Ruth, said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, that my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." So Ruth is not of the nation of Israel, so she's not been raised like others that he might encounter. Verse 14, "And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. So first Boaz says, listen, don't restrict her to the corners that the laws of God said, leave those for folks that need that grain. He said, don't restrict her to the corners. If she comes out into the field and she harvests, let her do it. But verse 16 is the theme verse for this morning. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So I want to look at that phrase or that thought, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. We're going to talk about that this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use this time. I'm so grateful to see friends, fellow church members, fellow believers in Jesus Christ. I'm sure we're being streamed. There may be some members at home that are watching. There may be some that don't attend our church but are born-again Christians. There may be some that are not yet born-again Christians. They haven't made that decision to personally trust Christ as their Savior. And whether they're here in this auditorium or whether they're watching on a screen, I pray you'd use the time this morning to draw closer, to bring them to the point of faith, that they might express that faith and trust Christ personally as their Savior and receive that wonderful gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Now, Lord, empower me as I preach that your word might go forth and that hearts may be stirred and changed, that our lives may be impacted from the word of God through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that God at times pours out handfuls of blessings, and the scripture phrase is of purpose. Handfuls of blessings of purpose. What he said to his workers were, listen, there are reapers that are hirelings. There are reapers that are going through the fields, and they're cutting down the grain, and they're bundling that grain, and it's going to go off, and it's going to be separated. It's going to be ground. There's going to be a great harvest of barley. There'll be flour that will come into my household, Boaz the owner, and to the other workers and servants here. But what I want you to do is I want you to take some of those bundles, take some of those handfuls of grain, and I want you to just throw them down here and there of purpose. I just want you to leave those handfuls here and there where Ruth will find the handfuls. Now, she's entitled to go to the corners and to personally cut and personally grind and personally take that small harvest, but I want you to leave her more than she expected, and I want you to do the work for her, cut it down, leave handfuls. All she'll have to do is pick them up. Now, Boaz is familiar with Ruth's history in a certain way, but he doesn't know her personally. But he's heard about her character. He's heard about the fact that she's honored her husband, and then she honored her mother-in-law, that she desired to be there as part of the nation of Israel. And because of her character and her other decisions, Boaz says, I want to be a blessing to her. For those who have received Christ as Savior, for those who are born-again Christians, for those who have not by any merit of their own, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, not by our merit, but by faith in the work, the finished work of Christ on the cross, faith in the promises of God, faith in the word of the Bible, who've come to faith, God looks at us, and I think there's a possibility that he can say, you know, I think they've done the right thing. And in fact, today, I want to leave a handful of purpose in someone's life. Today, I want to be a blessing to someone. Today, I want to do something that's not earned or deserved. Ruth didn't earn this. She didn't expect this. She couldn't predict this. And the first thought about these handful and purpose is, these handful are not predictable. But God, at times and places, just seems to place in front of us, just to put down suddenly an opportunity. or a blessing, or an answered prayer, or a testimony, something which stirs our life, which says, I needed that, that says, wow, God takes care of his own. How much does God do that? Can we measure it? Well, many of you, I'm sure, many of you enjoy a nice recipe. Some of those recipes and recipe books, you know, here's how you do this. Here's how you become a gourmet chef in 2 hours, you know, one of those books. And it may say in the midst of that that recipe, put in a pinch of salt. Could someone explain to me what a pinch of salt is? I mean, my hands aren't huge, but they're bigger than Lynn's. And if I pinch some salt, it's going to be more than Lynn pinches. And believe me, I've seen some of your hands, and your pinch of salt's probably, you know, like 5 times more than my pinch of salt. You can grab that basketball and just hold it. I can grab a tennis ball and hold it, but basketballs are too big. Pinch of salt. Or other phrases like that. Well, what's a handful? How much is a handful? How many handfuls? See, there's no particular measurement or no particular promise. So for one person's need, perhaps you're here today, and with all that's gone on, and in your personal life, folks that are ill, my brother-in-law is recovering from heart surgery. My sister-in-law is in another one of those treatments for the cancer that has beset her body for 5 years now. Their needs are bigger than my needs. And if they need, both are saved, if they need a handful of purpose, it might be a bigger handful than I would need or would get. That's up to God. It's not about expectation. It's not about, well, I deserve. No, Ruth didn't deserve anything. You say, well, how could you say that? She's so sweet. And she's a, well, Boaz recognized that, but that's different than saying, I have followed this rule and this is my benefit. This is my reward. Please, you know, remember the parable of those that were worked all day for a penny, and the ones that were hired later in the day got the same penny, and the ones that worked all day got the same penny, and they complained. How come they're getting paid, and we worked harder than they did? You know, that's the human nature, to look and compare, and I did all this for God, and he owes me this and that. No, nothing to do with being owed anything, just some handfuls left of purpose. What kind of handfuls? Well, as much as the master intends. Boaz was the master. He was the boss, as much as the boss intends. How much of a blessing does God have for you next Friday at RU? Well, different amounts for different people, perhaps. Maybe it's not next Friday that you'll find a handful. Maybe it's the Friday after that. Maybe it was last night. You see, it's when God does it, when he chooses to. It's not something deserved, and it's not something predictable. True. Is it going to be in service today or Wednesday? Or is it going to be in service because of a testimony that you heard standing in the aisle and speaking with someone with social distancing? But is it a testimony? Is it going to be a verse? Is it going to be an incident? Is it going to be the message from the scripture itself? What is it? How's God going to do this? But he does it. And I'm not saying it's a promise that these handfuls of purpose are every time. But when we seem to be at our greatest need, there is a bundle of barley. And we say, Lord, thank you. I needed that. Thank you. Is it a testimony? Is it a lesson? Is it a smile? Is it a card? I had the opportunity, the blessing of preaching in this service 3 weeks ago. And a week or two went by, and then someone texted me. And there have been some, always, you know, pastor would know this, there are always kind folks that express their appreciation for a message. But a couple weeks went by, and that's unusual, and then someone texted me and said, I just want you to know that message did this and this. You know, there were some normal comments right after, or texts, but I really needed that then. You say, well, what was going on? Well, I was stuck in a computer room with computers that weren't working. I'm serious. Completely unrelated to the message, completely unrelated to anything. But suddenly you get a text, and it says, I appreciate the message, and it helped me with this. You say, wow. Ooh, I needed that. Handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. You know, when you're my age, your illustrations sometimes aren't last week, sometimes they're 40 years ago. And they all just seem to come back together, you know. But before ever arriving in Connecticut 40 years ago to plant a church, Lynn and I were in Decatur, Georgia. And I'd already surrendered to come, already made the plans to come, but there were some things that plagued me. Wow, I'm going back, I'm going to New England, I'm from upstate New York, I know that the gospel's not appreciated in the same way here as it might be in Decatur, Georgia. And I said, you know, I believe that God can help us to win souls, but are they ever going to get baptized and join the church? Are we ever going to have commitments? And this is something that was just in my back of my mind, just was bothering me. And you say, well, your faith should have, yeah, I realize that, but you and I both realize that we don't always have all the faith that we need, which is why the disciples could ask the Lord to build their faith. So Lynn went out soul winning with her soul winning partner, and she came back and she said, we won a young man to the Lord today. Really? Not something completely unusual, but she said he's from Trumbull, Connecticut. Huh? Yeah, he goes to Georgia Tech. He's from Trumbull, Connecticut. Really? I think he's going to visit Sunday. Terrific. Yeah, he visited Sunday, and the next Sunday he got baptized. From Trumbull, Connecticut. He got saved and baptized. Now, for you that might not seem unusual, but for me, in Georgia, before planting a church, being concerned, being worrisome about will we ever be able to actually get commitments from people, it was a loudspeaker in my life that said if a guy from Trumbull can get saved in Georgia and get baptized, he can get saved in Trumbull and get baptized. He can get saved in Stratford and get baptized. He can get saved in Southington and get baptized. That was a handful of purpose. Didn't expect it, didn't deserve it, but boy, it helped me a lot. The handfuls are not predictable. They are whenever and however God wants to provide them.
That's right.
Second thought, the master knew the handfuls would be found if the seeker was diligent. You know, his reapers could take those bundles, those handfuls of grain, and they could throw them down in places. But if Ruth had never lifted up her eyes or looked, they'd still be there. Someone else would get them at another time, perhaps, but Ruth wouldn't have that blessing. Ruth wouldn't have that benefit. And so the second thought about the verse is, first was, God gives us handfuls of purpose when we need them, not according to how we've earned them, but unpredictably according to his grace and will. But secondly, the master, Boaz, understood that he had provided the handfuls, but Ruth would have to be seeking them to find them. So my question for myself and for you is, they were no longer spread in the corners, and they were no longer where she was in particular putting her attention. That might be like us. When everything gets back underway, maybe you're a nursery worker, or maybe you're a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker. When the Lord opens everything up, maybe right now you're getting back into RU and you're so blessed to be back, but that's your focus. Sometimes we focus so strongly we don't see God working in other ways. Sometimes we're focused so strongly that we don't notice other things he's doing. Lord, my need right now is my surgery coming up, or my need right now is my finances and the mortgage payment, and I'm not sure my need right now is, and we're so focused on that one area, like Ruth in the corner, that along comes the Lord with another kind of blessing because he knows it'll help us, and we don't even notice it. Like parents, you know, your little child comes along and says, Mommy, Mommy, look what I found. Yeah. Just come back later. I'm doing this. Mommy, Mommy, look what... No, don't. And we're so focused that we miss the blessing of a conversation with our child, of growing together, maybe a teaching opportunity, maybe just a love opportunity. But we miss it because you don't understand. I'm vacuuming now. I've got to do that. Be cautious when we feel we have to do this. And God wants us to take a moment out and say, listen to me. I have something special. I have a gift for you. I don't have time for gifts right now. I'm busy. To receive the handfuls of purpose, we have to be like Ruth. We have to notice them. We ought to always be willing to notice what God's doing. Often he's doing it in someone else's life. He's doing it in Boaz's life, isn't he? Really, he started with Boaz. He got Boaz's attention. So he's doing something in Boaz's life, but it's soon going to enter Ruth's life. Sometimes it's somebody else, and it's a testimony that they give. Sometimes it's watching how God works in another situation, and months or years later, there we are. We're in the same situation, and God brings that back to mind. The handful is the memory. The handful is how he did it before. The handful is faith to believe he can do something a second time or a third time. They would be obvious, but only first you had to draw close, and second, you had to be looking. So the master knew the handfuls would be found if you were diligent, which means when he used that phrase, that she may glean them. Gleaning was a process. Gleaning was a focus. Gleaning was... And he said, she's going to be gleaning, so put those out. If she's doing the job I think she's doing, if she's paying attention to me, if that born-again Christian is glorifying me, is spending time with me the way I believe they are, they'll catch on to this handful of purpose. In order to draw close, in order to be looking low, you have to be saved. I mean, that's the starting point of almost everything in life, right? Amen. Everything spiritual. The starting point for our life might have been birth physically, but the starting point for things spiritual is the second birth, being born again, being saved. And if a person has not yet crossed that threshold of faith and said, I'm trusting Christ with my soul, I believe he died for my sins, I know in my heart that God's promises are true, and he says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, I'm going to respond to that and ask Christ to be my Savior. I'm going to acknowledge him. If we haven't crossed that threshold, we're not in the gleaning business yet. We can't see special blessings of God if we've ignored the wonderful gift of eternal life and the call of God for us to respond in faith. Receive Christ. Hebrews 7:19 rather says, for the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Because we're saved, we have a better hope. We have a mature hope. Heaven is ours by faith. We're not there yet, but we trust God and believe it will come to pass. The earnest, the down payment on that is the Holy Ghost living within us. And now we can draw nigh to God and see those blessings. But we also have to, secondly, not only draw close if we want to look and be diligent, but we have to not only be saved, but we have to yield to the will of God. Yield to the will of God. We can't be in open defiance of God, open resistance to his will, open stubbornness against him using our lives and expect or even be able to see the handfuls. I have a little story. I don't normally do this, but I have a little story in it. I'm going to kind of read it, maybe not word for word, but pretty close. On a bitterly cold winter evening, a gentleman on his deathbed called his only son to his side. The dying believer made only one request of his wayward son. He asked the son to accept his Bible, to keep it, and to read it aloud from a particular passage every Easter Sunday. Knowing that an inheritance might be at stake, the son immediately agreed. Of course, Dad, I'll take the Bible. Of course, I'll read it every Easter. Within days, the father died, and at the reading of his will, there was no provision at all for his wayward son. Infuriated, he stomped out of the attorney's office, cursed his father's name. The first of many Easters came and went, but the hateful son determined never to honor his father's dying wish. But the fleeting thrill of drink and riotous living passed, and his own health failed. Bitter and alone in an empty rooming house room, he was about to go out into eternity. Another of the rooming house residents asked him about his belongings, and he said, "After I'm gone, you can have them. There's nothing there." And after he passed, that gentleman came, and there was a small suitcase with some things crammed in. And despite the bitterness toward his dad, all those years he kept that Bible, only he kept it almost as a reminder that his dad had left him out of the inheritance. As he unpacked the case, the gentleman from the neighboring room noted that a Bible slipped out and fell, splayed open on the floor, and a few sheets of paper that looked like some legal document fell out. The papers were bonds registered in the name of the son and worth tens of thousands of dollars that had been tucked in to that passage that was to be read every Easter. See, if we're defying God, if we're stubborn, if we're not cooperating with God, don't expect to find anything special. Now, by God's grace, he may do special things. That's up to God. But our expectations are much diminished if we're resisting what God has for us. No, I'm not going to surrender to teach that Sunday school class. I don't have time. No, I'm not going to make a phone call. I'm not going to be encouraging to people. My life is hard. They don't deserve my attention. I need their attention. How come they're not helping me? All those kinds of act, and those are the folks that fall into that pit that never see God working. Although he may have handfuls that have been spread around, they're not looking. They can't see it. They look right past it. So first, the handfuls can't be predicted. And second, the searcher needs to be diligent, and that's us. You may be serving the Lord, you may be walking with God, I hope and trust you are, I believe you probably are. But also have eyes to look and say, outside my category, outside my ministry, outside my circumstance, do I see God working in other things? Is there a blessing that I can share? That blessing may be an answered prayer in someone else's life that we suddenly just feel is very personal. It wasn't our problem, it was theirs. It wasn't our need, it was theirs. But it just warms our heart to think God answered that prayer. God did that for them. Isn't that terrific? Thirdly, the handfuls are just for you. Verse 16 again. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. Different handfuls for different people. God has prepared handfuls just for you. Just for you. Isn't it amazing that the Lord God Almighty would do something special for me? I mean, that's how we need to think. Isn't it amazing that God would do anything special for me?
Right.
Say, well, of course I know that. He died on the cross for me. The Son of God came to this earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He died on the cross for me. Yes, but even then, we think of that more in a group setting. Yeah, he died for the sins of the whole world. Yes, and I'm a sinner, and he died for me. But when we think of it in a very personal way, he has some special blessings just for you. This time a year ago, I was in heart rehab. I'd had my bypass surgery the first week in March, and I was still going in June to a heart rehab, 12 weeks of heart rehab. While I was in the hospital, I was not having a good time. And I mean that in every way possible. I appreciated Lynn. She was there every day. And my son from California, Ken, came and was here a week and a half, something like that, 2 weeks, and to be a help to her and to me. And I appreciated those things. I really did. But nights were lonely. And hospitals are lonely places in a way. Got along with people. Had some odd roommates at times, but got along with people. But I just wasn't sensing the presence of the Lord. And I was actually asking the Lord, seriously asking him, is there something, you know, I just, sometimes I'm not sure you're answering prayer, and just like that. Lynn was visiting one of those days. It was toward the end of my stay. I only had a couple days to go home. I had a surgery on Tuesday, and I went home on Saturday, I think, or went to the home. And then they came to my home for a few weeks, and then the rehab. So here I am at Hartford Hospital, and terrific staff of nurses and CNAs and doctors, everything fantastic. And I tried to connect with some of them, you know, and they were very, very kind and helpful. And Amela came in that day. I didn't know a lot about Amela except she was very friendly. Lynn was there. And I said something to her about faith, and she said, I wish I had the faith that you have. I hadn't been feeling very much like faith. But my answer was biblical. My heart went out to her, and I said something like this: well, the Lord wants every one of us to exercise our faith. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? And she said, no, not yet. I wish I could. Amela was my handful of purpose. She listened. She told me she had come as a refugee, as a child from Bosnia. She'd grown up in America from her elementary childhood years. She'd seen a lot in life that I've never seen. She still felt like an outsider, though, and she was lonely. She had accomplished the education she needed to be doing what she was doing. She was certainly grateful that America gave her that opportunity. But she wasn't filled with joy. And we opened the Bible and shared with her the gospel. And she prayed to receive Christ. She came to see me a couple more times that day, although I wasn't on her schedule. And before I left, she was one of those nurses that signed my heart pillow, that sort of thing. I've lost contact with Amela. I pray for her once a week or so. but she was suddenly a handful of purpose. Now, I don't know what your handful of purposes are. Maybe it's not someone that you've led to Christ. Maybe I'm not. That was not of me. For her to open her mouth and heart and talk about faith, that was God in her, not me. Handfuls of purpose, just for you. What do you need? Do you need faith that you're going to be able to continue your business? Do you need faith that your employment will continue? Do you need faith? What do you need today? Do you need faith? Do you still have fear that you might get this dreaded disease? It's a possibility. Do you need faith that God will see you through and that your life will not be in jeopardy over that? But I don't know what you need. But I believe that God has handfuls of purpose. You may have received one a year ago, 2 years ago, that will come into play in the next week. Because you saw the handful, because you understood it was from God, because you rejoiced that He gave it to you, and you wondered what it was going to do for you, and that still lies ahead. Or you may be receiving that handful of purpose this week, or next month, when you need it. But it's going to be there. Because God is blessed by giving us more than our needs. He promises the needs, I understand that. But I think He's blessed. He enjoys. He's gracious in giving us more than we need. The need was the corner. More than the need was the handfuls of purpose. Handfuls are just for you. Just for you. Luke 11:9 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." Eyes open. Ears attentive. Is God speaking? Is God working? Is God intervening in my life? Is God bringing someone across my path? And I can be a blessing to them. They can be a blessing to me. What's going on around me besides my daily routine? Because God may have a handful of purpose. The last thought, the handfuls have a divine purpose. I very carefully use the scripture, use the scriptural phrase. We often say, if we were paraphrasing verse 16, it would be very easy to say handfuls on purpose. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says handfuls of purpose. And there may not be a lot of difference, but the Lord caught my attention on that, and I've tried to use that phrase accurately in preaching today. Because the purpose is God's purpose. It belongs to Him. It's not just a handful to meet our need, that the purpose is to bless us. When we live the Christian life, whatsoever we eat, whatsoever we drink, it's all supposed to be for the glory of God. Amen? So the handfuls of purpose ultimately are not just to raise our spirit, not just to be an encouragement, not just to be a preparation, not just to be a training, not just to be an experience of faith, but ultimately to glorify God, in that our life will change in some way, small or large, where God's will be done better than it was before. That glorifies God. Handfuls of purpose. Pastor Brown, if you were to give an invitation, what would it be? It would be recognize that God has more blessings than you can imagine. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He has greater purpose and greater strategy than we can imagine. And we'll never understand all that. What we can understand is He may give us something undeserved but of great value and blessing at any moment. And to recognize, if I'm looking around, I may see it. Spiritually looking around, I may see it clearly. I had another message planned for this morning, or I was working on it. It didn't come to fullness. I didn't feel quite right yet. Maybe the next time I preach, it'll be there. But it was a handful on purpose. I was reading the scriptures in Luke and the feeding of the 5,000, and it said that they took up 12 baskets full after the crowd had been fed. And I thought to myself, actually, I don't think I thought to myself, but the thought entered my mind. If you're a disciple, an apostle who's been traveling with Christ for months, if not years, you've been listening to him preach every day and teach every day, you felt very special because he's called you, you're named among the apostles, and now he gives you an important job. Go teach this crowd. No. Go counsel with the individual members and see their needs and pray with them. No. Very important. Go hold the baskets. Go hold the baskets. But you don't understand, Lord. Now that handful on purpose started a thought in my mind, which I'm going to develop as a message. We also get the handfuls on purpose when we read the scriptures.
That's right.
And a phrase pops out at us. And we get to think of that. And the Holy Spirit gets to teach us. And it was meant for us, nobody else that day, just us. Handfuls of purpose. What's the invitation? Are you ready to go out today, tomorrow, and this week and look for how God is placing bundles of blessings unexpectedly in your life? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word.